Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way to this worshiping community on this beautiful, sunshiny day. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or there will be an elder at the communion table following worship to receive any of your questions. Don't forget to sign that hospitality register and send it on down so that we can greet one another by name. And I know there are a few other announcements this morning. Kate, why don't you go ahead and get us started?
So we will be having the swim pool is being put up. We will be having Undies Sunday as well as collecting for backpacks. So watch for information in the back lobby.
And Lauren.
Good morning. The Young Children's Committee invites the young and the young at heart to join us on the front lawn this Friday, July 12th, from 4:30 to 8. Bring your family, bring a picnic dinner, and we will provide the games, the bounce house, and the s'mores, and we hope to see you there.
Tracy.
I'll be out on the patio this morning after church, and I will have Red Wings tickets, so for those of you that are interested, please catch me. If you can't pay me now, that's fine, but I do have the physical tickets, so I'd like to just give those to you. The game is this coming Saturday, July 8th at 6:05, followed by RPO and Red Wings. Thanks.
13th. And also, please note, there will be a special called meeting of the congregation on July 28th. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Please stand if you are able and join me in the call to worship. Sing praises to God, all you faithful ones. God hears us in our fear and sorrow. Where there is no way, God leads us in a new way. Where there was no mercy, God surprises us with fresh mercy. Where there was weeping, God invites us to step into a new dance. Thank you.
Let us join our voices together in the prayer of confession. Holy One, why is it that we can grow so weary of doing what is right, yet always energetically do that which we know is harmful to us and others? We sow seeds of hurt and anger and wonder why we harvest so much bitterness. We spend too much time comparing ourselves to those around us and too few moments in following Christ's example. As you reach out to heal us with your forgiveness, may we embrace your love, your mercy, your grace for our lives. Sing praises to our God, faithful children. God has heard our prayers and made us whole. We will not be silent. We sing our joy to the one who has forgiven us and made us a new creation. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I would invite the children to come forward. I know we have a few hiding out here. Good morning. Come on. Good morning. Nora, I'm going to have you come. Come on. Three is always a good number. Hi. Where should we sit today? Should we sit right here? Oh, Faith has got it. Come over here. Good morning. Good morning. Yes. Good morning. There we go. Hi. Would you like to sit or do you want to stand? You can do either one. It's okay. Oh, there's Mom. Well, good morning. So I want to share a little something with you about my week last week. So last week I went to a church camp called Chautauqua. I know, it's hard to say and it's even harder to spell. So I heard a lot of wonderful speakers and heard a lot of great music, and I got to try something new last week. I took a class on how to play the ukulele. Do you know what that is? It's like, I should have brought mine. It's a tiny little instrument that kind of looks like a guitar. Now, I have tried to play the ukulele many, many times before, and you know what? I'm really bad at it. I am. I'm really, really bad at it. But I thought maybe I'll try this one more time. And I had a teacher, and I told her, I said, I'm really bad at the ukulele. And she goes, oh, well. Oh, well. Do you have anything that you're really bad at? That you don't do very well? Is there anything you can think of that you don't do very well? Anything? Let's just think. Did you know that sometimes we're not always the best at everything? And you know what? Sometimes it's okay to say, oh, well. In the Bible today, Jesus sends his disciples out to share the good news of God's love. And Jesus says to them, some people are going to be really excited about it, and some people aren't going to be as excited about it. And you know what you should say when they're not so excited about it? Oh, well. Oh, well, and keep going, because there are many places in the world where people get very excited about God's love. And you know what? It's okay. You just keep going because it's fun and you love it. Would you pray with me? Yes? So you can pray with your hands open, with your hands closed, your eyes open, or your eyes closed, however you want to do it. Can you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for sharing your love. Amen. Great job. Thanks for coming up this morning. It's good to see you. All right. You can go back and sit wherever you want. Is that okay? Okay. Good.
first reading this morning is Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face. I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what could I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so my soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I could try to repay all I've taken from you, maybe, Lord, I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it. So help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Souls in your hand, Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Amen. Second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating, drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town. So woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the deeds of power done in you have been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But at the judgment, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? No, you will be brought down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. And whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Now the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." And he said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." We might feel a bit removed from the list of towns that Jesus laments over in these verses. So let's try a little something else. Woe to you, Boston. Woe to you, Albany, and you, Seattle. Will you be exalted to heaven? The names of those towns might sound a bit more familiar to you, but I did not choose them at random. These towns round a list of the top 10 post-Christian cities in America, according to the Barna Group, whose research focuses on the intersection of faith and culture. But there is one more on this top 10 list that might interest you. Coming in at number 8, woe to you, Rochester. That's right. Rochester, New York, broke into the top 10 this year. So you might be wondering, what does it mean for a city like Rochester to be defined as post-Christian? The key metrics they used, including asking people if they had read the Bible in the last week, or if they attended a Christian church in the last 6 months, if they had prayed in the last week, or whether or not they agree that faith is important in their lives, and the very basic question of whether or not someone believes in God. Now, there were a few other questions included in the study that were more evangelical or fundamentalist in nature, like whether or not someone considered themselves to be born again, or if the Bible is accurate. But most of the questions were fairly theologically open and would be inclusive of any denomination that called themselves Christian. Now, regardless of where we find ourselves on the theological spectrum, a study like this reflects a reality that most of us church folk are already too aware of. A significant shift has taken place in our faith communities about the importance of that said faith in everyday life. And our reaction about the answers to that is always curious. We gather together in our church building, and we look around. A morning like this is pretty good. And we see those empty pews. And we start to hand-wring about, well, who's not here? Why are they not here? Women's World Cup soccer might be one reason. The sunshine might be another. And we get worried about, well, if people aren't coming to church on Sunday morning, how are we going to pay for a new roof, for a new boiler? Who's going to teach Sunday school in the fall or serve as an elder, a deacon, or trustee? And now we have to start thinking about a pastor nominating committee. Thanks, Melissa, like we didn't have enough to worry about. I realize that for most of you, the announcement of my departure came both as a surprise and at the same time not. I have appreciated your kind words of understanding for what is best for our family during this season of our lives. This is a time where we all are reminded that life doesn't always look like what we had planned or hoped or imagined. And yet God helps us see the abundance of the new life that is set before us all. And that is where my attention is drawn to in this kind of confusing gospel story this morning. A passage that reminds us just how important it is for us to embrace our active participation in the reconciling work of God beyond the narrow confines of our fears, our needs, and even physical spaces. A lot of those fear and worries seem to focus on a scarcity mindset, our feeling that we don't have enough, we aren't rich enough, we don't have enough resources to accomplish the sort of mission that Jesus sets us out for. We tend to fall into this trap of comparing ourselves to the megachurch down the road, and we say, see, if we want to pull Rochester off that top 10 list, we need to be more like them. Well, you know I'm not one for focusing on the numbers, but every now and then when the Bible likes to include them, they are worth paying attention to, particularly this verse where Jesus sends out 70, 72, depending on your interpretation, 70 disciples. Not 700, not 7,000, but 70. Think of what they accomplish. Not only in this story with the powers of evil submitting to them, but also and especially in the months and years ahead, as it's this group that is the core of the disciples who at Pentecost will preach and teach the gospel and take the good news to the ends of the earth. And in later years, their descendants, their children, grandchildren, great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren will go on to build hospitals and schools and refugee centers and all manner of institutions that profoundly touch the lives of those around them. But just 70 people in the beginning And with faith and courage, go out to change the world. And one commentator on this text also points out that it just so happens that the average worshiping attendance of most mainline denominations, including Presbyterians, hovers right around 70. I can't count fast enough, but I'm going to guess we're pretty close to that number today. And I also got a bit of a chuckle when I saw that the average age of most Presbyterians is, guess what? Just shy of 70. God certainly has an intriguing habit of accomplishing incredible things with this number. Though numbers aside, what I find particularly powerful about this passage is just how aware Jesus is of our tendencies to come back over and over again to focus on scarcity and to miss the abundance of God. And our culture consistently, compellingly suggests that security is found through our possessions, encouraging us to spend, consume, to buy, satisfy any impulse or whim we might have, promising us these purchases will secure for us a sense of well-being and calm and peace. But what if these behaviors only draw us further from God, heighten our sense of insecurity by pushing us to value things rather than people and relationships, and to look to possessions for our sense of security rather than to turn to God? Jesus discourages the disciples from taking even a purse or a bag, even sandals, encouraging them to instead rely on our dependence on one another for help and encouragement and support, and to rely on God through prayer to satisfy our deepest needs. And in this text, Jesus calls that peace. And as one friend of mine describes, peace is more than just that good feeling. It is a community-creating gift of God that requires reciprocal response. It not only reflects a calmness of spirit, but points to wholeness and reconciliation and healing. And I would add, it also reflects a willingness of the disciples to be vulnerable. That to experience peace is for ourselves to be vulnerable, to be willing to acknowledge that they leave behind the material items they rely on and their attitudes of certainty for how to go about this mission. We tend to fall back on the way things used to be. And if we can just get people to come to church, to walk through the doors, to sit in the pews, to join our committees, we'll get Rochester off that top 10 list. But I'll tell you what, there is something inescapably vulnerable about confessing that that was one way to do it a long time ago. And we just don't really know how to go about this mission today to which Jesus calls us. And I don't know, up to each person's opinion, but I wouldn't necessarily call our culture here in the U.S. as hostile to the message of Christianity, to see ourselves as lambs among the wolves. Yet even today, Jesus does not arm us for spiritual, cosmic, or cultural warfare. But nevertheless, living into the peace God intends for this world, it's not always popular. We will encounter resistance and rejection. And being the church isn't about being popular, but about showing up, Being honest that we don't always have all the answers, all the numbers, or the security and material goods the world tells us we need. But what we do have is this incredible opportunity for this story to become our story. To look around. And instead of focusing on who isn't here, to grow deeper in community with who is, so that we can be sent out trusting that, like the 70, God goes with us, and that the gospel of peace accompanies us, and that the future will continue to unfold in mysterious ways, and God's gracious gifts of love and peace will continue to be given now and always. May it be so.
Be seated. Friends, the one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, for whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurts you bear, know that the host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared, According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with the disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is our joy to praise you, Lord God of heaven and earth, because you are continually renewing your work of creation, transforming it to show your glory through resurrection. You created us from the dust of the earth, and you recreated us by water and the Spirit. You brought your people out of slavery to freedom in the promised land, and you brought your Son from the depth of death to the glory of resurrection life. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of the harvest. You sowed among us the seed of your only Son. You sent Jesus to show us a way to love you. Teaching us about your love, he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table, refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word. He went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died, witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Send your Holy Spirit upon the bread and cup, simple gifts from creation which grace us with your life, and upon those who gather around your table. Fed from the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair. And welcomed without question at your table of grace, may we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in the days to come. Amen. And we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took a common loaf of bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He asks us to remember and repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you whenever you drink. Do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink wine, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life, faith to hope anew. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. So we celebrate together. And at this time, the communion servers are invited to come forward We are celebrating this morning the sacrament by intinction. Once they get settled, I will invite you forward. Please take a piece of bread, dip into the cup, partake, and return to your seats. And for those with mobility concerns, we'll keep our eyes out at the end, and the ushers will be around to bring the elements to you. Friends, let us now partake in this holy feast.
Let us pray. Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of love wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
As a community fed and nourished at this table, we go forth to serve, and in doing so, part of that responsibility is our commitment to prayer with one another and for the world. If you have a prayer of joy or concern you'd like to share, just raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone over to you this morning. Let us know who you are and please just briefly summarize the prayer. Two that way and one this way.
Paula, good morning, Paula Souza. I have a prayer of thanksgiving and that I have an abundance of lettuce in my garden out here. So if you'd like some, I'm going to pick it. Just follow me out after the service and I'll give you some.
Wonderful. Great joy.
Mary Hadley. Oh, geez, sorry. I've kept you all informed about my cousin Rosanna down in Virginia. And so the good news is that she has colon cancer, but not colon cancer. What? Yeah, pancreatic cancer. So the good news is that the tumor has shrunk due to her chemo treatment enough to have it be surgically removed. So she's actually on her way to Johns Hopkins as we speak and going to go through 5 days of radiation for the final preparation. And so I ask for your continued prayers. Thank you for your prayers to date. It's truly, I think, a miracle that this is working so well. But she's got a long journey ahead, and this is a critical week. So thank you for your continued prayers.
Definitely continued prayers, Mary.
Kate Stanford, I've asked for prayers for my neighbor before. This is her third time battling cancer, and recently there was a clerical error, and they gave her too much treatment. So she's now in the hospital with infections, and they're not sure if she's going to survive it. So if you could please keep a net in your prayers.
Prayers for your neighbor, Kate.
Jan Buettner, just two very quick prayers for a friend of mine from Spencerport, Nora Hampton, whose husband Gary passed away quite suddenly last Sunday. And for my nephew I saw yesterday, he's in Dallas, but he's going to be undergoing on Tuesday very extensive facial reconstruction. So prayers for them. Thanks.
Christine Cook, a prayer of joy that my baby, Harmony, is going to be 13 on the 13th.
She slinks under the pew. Happy birthday.
Good morning, Bruce Taylor. Cheryl and I have a joy that we'd like to share that June 25th, our grandson Everett Edmund Taylor arrived at 8 pounds and 3 ounces. And we are ecstatic because he only lives 5 minutes from us. And Jason and Amy are doing extremely well. So,
good prayers of joy.
Yes.
Excellent. Any other prayers? Let us continue our time of prayer. O holy parent, be present with your children, with all your children, most especially those who are in captivity, stolen away from their parents and taken to unknown lands, held as prisoners or trafficked as objects instead of being loved like the precious children of God they are. May the voices of justice cry out for them that they too may know freedom in the name of Christ who represents freedom for all. O merciful healer, be present with those who are suffering today with illness or addiction, grief, fear, and pain. Place your healing upon them, hand upon them, we pray. Grant them comfort and strength and courage to face each new day. Place people in their lives who can offer solutions and grant them the wisdom to discern which healing paths to follow. May the whisper of spirit inspire them that they too may know freedom in the name of Christ who represents freedom for all. O Holy One, be present with those who direct your people to still waters and other unexpected places of hope. Instill in them a spirit of humility, a compassionate heart, a loving kindness, and a clear vision. Those who seek their guidance may be restored by your power at work in them.
and those who do not understand them may not fear but come to respect your call on their lives. May the energy of love move in them that they too may know freedom. In the name of Christ, who represents freedom for all and who taught us to pray together using the words, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Lord, through your grace, we have received many blessings. We thank you for them and ask that you use our offering to bring blessings to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
With me in the litany benediction in your bulletin. Let us never grow weary of doing what is right. We will go to seek justice for all God's children. Let us not grow weary of leading others to the kingdom.
We will go to follow Jesus' example of gathering all into grace.
Let us not grow weary speaking of hope and peace.
We will go to sow the Spirit's seed of life and hope.
Amen.